You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, Mace, we may be...
That was just an outright yell.
Okay. We may be old, but we are very, very immature. If they had a maturity test,
yes. We
would be right at the, or an immaturity test, we'd be at the top.
Well, the other thing about Kaplan, and I don't know how much, you listen to that show, right?
Sure.
Sedano and Kaplan.
Sure.
Kaplan knows nothing about pop culture whatsoever. Doesn't know any movie, doesn't know any actor, doesn't know anything in music, doesn't know anything. So that's Cap's thing. They always have to explain... Emma Stone is this person.
Really? He doesn't know who Emma Stone is?
No. I mean, I've heard them have discussions where he has never seen particular movies that everybody has seen. So
my wife has a friend like this.
Okay.
All right. And it's a and by the way, I'm a Scott Kaplan fan, but did you see his seats the other day at the Padre game?
No, I didn't. Were they good?
Like basically front row. Ooh. Right off the side of home plate. So every time they took a shot of the plate. There was Kaplan.
Nice. Nice, Cap.
I've always liked Kaplan, but my wife has a friend that named Vicky. We call her Hot Vicky because she's attractive.
Hot Vicky.
But Hot Vicky knows nothing.
Is she a good time girl?
She's married now. Back in the day, maybe.
Good time girl.
You brought up that expression yesterday.
Yeah.
It cracked me up. A good time girl.
Good time girl. We need more good time girls. But anyway, so...
That's not Kaplan.
Kaplan has no sense of who's famous and who isn't?
No sense, has no... And Greg, you worked that show.
Right.
He knows nothing about pop culture at all, right?
So you know Margot Robbie. She's one of the most beautiful women in the world right now. No clue who she is. Like, not even a thought. Like, oh, yeah, I don't know who that is.
So Hot Vicky used to go out with, like, one of the heads of Showtime. Like,
yes.
The head of the whole network.
Okay.
Lived with him for a couple of years.
Yep.
So he would take her to a lot of premieres. And one day she's sitting by herself while he's off glad-handing and giving speeches. And she's just sitting there, and some guy walks in and sits down next to her. And she says, hi. She goes, he goes, hey, I'm Brian. She goes, hey, I'm Vicky. And she says, what do you do here, Vicky? She goes, oh, my boyfriend's one of the Showtime guys. And he said, what do you do? He goes, I'm a director. And she said, well, would you have directed anything I've ever seen? And he goes, yeah, I directed A Beautiful Mind. Have you seen that?
She doesn't know who Ron Howard was.
No, Brian Grazer.
It's oh, Brian Grazer. Oh,
but
Brian Grazer,
the spiked
producer.
Hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so so Vicky goes, you directed A Beautiful Mind. And he goes, yeah. Did you like it? She goes, yeah, sure. And right then her boyfriend walks up and goes, wow, Brian Grazer. This must be a big event. And Vicky goes, wait a minute, you really did? You really did do A Beautiful Mind? She goes, yeah. So this is Kaplan?
Yeah, this is Kaplan.
That guy?
Absolutely. No clue.
Hey! Michael's here early.
He's early. Michael Thompson, what is going on, man?
Actually, guys, you like me even more than Michael, right?
Oh, it's Morales. He faked it.
In the flesh. I'm pressing the flesh today
nice.
At the station.
Chris, good,
I'm actually glad you're here because I was going to suggest we call you today.
Okay.
Were you going to say something before I interrupted
you? I was going to say I wanted you to continue with the Hot Vicky story because that was very, you know, great radio. That was awesome.
You didn't like the Hot Vicky
It was compelling.
Story?
It was compelling right out of the gate. We always
that.
Want to do that in the first 10 minutes of the show. Anyway,
absolutely.
Go ahead, John.
Forget that, Chris.
Yes.
So, I'm getting a lot of traction from the caller we had. Just Chris, like me, has a great passion for golf.
Yes.
So whenever I have golf questions, I discuss them.
By the way,
Chris.
John, I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm going to. You know who else has a great passion for golf?
Who?
Travis Rogers.
Who
and you can hear Travis and Sliwa, 9:55 a.m., and we're hopefully getting them on the Lakers scoreboard soon. Anyway, go ahead, John.
Okay, so, Chris, a lot of traction for changing the scoring system on Friday to give Mason a better chance.
But, John, I don't understand how match play is going to help him. He's not going to win any of the holes.
Yeah, but I won't win a hole.
But wait a minute, Mace.
Yes.
Eric,
oh, that's Mace.
Yeah.
Okay.
If he takes, like, you sent me a text yesterday saying he could take, like, a 20 on one hole.
He could.
Yep, absolutely.
If he does do that, match play would protect him In other words, like, let's say on the first, we're playing the back nine. What's
front nine?
Number?
Front nine. You want
we're
to
doing front nine
yeah,
now?
Yeah, front. On a Friday, you want to go front first.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so front nine, that's a par four to start.
Yes.
Yep.
Let's say I get a five, uh-huh, and Mason gets a 20.
Okay.
Well, then.
The match is over.
Well, yeah, I'd be 15.
Then we get to eat breakfast.
Well, is that what we want?
No, I don't know what you guys want. I've been telling Mace for 3 months to come to the course and play the course, and he hasn't.
I cannot win a single hole. I can't beat you on a hole, so you would win 9-0 in match play.
No, no, but Mace, I would give you 3 shots on every hole.
Oh, now see,
that's what I'm saying.
That is intriguing.
That's interesting.
That's intriguing.
And that way, let's say on the first hole, I get a 5 and you get a 20. You're only down one.
Down one.
And if I get a 5 and you get an 8, we just go to the second hole.
That's a push.
But the three strokes doesn't work out. We have to do the math based on...
9 times 3 is 27.
Oh, that's right. I'm in imaging. I'm not in math. I mean,
yeah, what do you think, Morales? Yeah.
So, Chris, I think that protects him a little bit, but I will leave it up to you. I will defer to you since you've kind of created...
Well, no, let's do this right on the air so we don't have to deal with this Friday morning. Mace, what do you want to do?
It would play to your advantage if we did it that way.
It seems like match play would protect me in the event of a 20, Morales, which I think is completely possible. I'm told the fairways are very narrow. I've not played the course. I've never actually been on an 18-hole full-size golf course.
And Mace, it would also prolong the match if you had two or three early blow-up holes, or for that matter, if I had two or three early blow-up holes. It would protect, like, if it would still give the other guy a chance, you know, an hour later.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Of Mice and Men?
Yes.
Because I call Scott Kaplan Lenny. But that I digress. Anyway, so, Greg,
it's
why
so
don't you...
true.
Yeah, there you are.
It's
I was
so
wondering
true.
Why Greg wasn't on the air. We made this big trade.
Bergman.
Where's Bergman?
Yeah.
What do you think of the match play idea?
I'm okay with it. I don't feel like three is enough.
No, but that'd be a total of 27.
Right. I mean, it puts it right there. I don't know, because like on the par fives, he's not going to hit an 8. He's going to have like a 12, 13.
But on the par 3s, he could easily get a 6.
So, right.
So let's do this. John, let's add a layer to this. If you want to do match play, we're going to have to add strokes.
No. He gets 3 every hole.
No, that's not going to work.
But if
Greg's right.
If you shoot par and I shoot an 8, that's a push, I guess, right?
If I get a bogey and you get an 8.
Look,
if
I play
a par, you got to make 7.
Right. I play a decent amount, and I played with Chris plenty of times, and I played with you, John.
I don't let him ride in my car, though.
No, I go by myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But
decision.
An eight is something that I will normally get on a five, on a par five.
Yeah, but
Mason
but
is not
have,
going to get an 8.
But that means I would have to par it to beat him.
If right,
Mason
but even if you get
a
6,
nine,
he's not going to get a 9 either. He's going to get like a 12 because par fives are long.
Yeah, I mean, I blew up on a par three hole this past weekend, and I shot an 11. On
yeah,
a par
this,
three hole.
I think we keep it strokes. That's all right. It's all strokes.
I'm telling you,
to me.
You guys are not looking at the forest for the trees. This is better for Mason, the match play thing. We'll open the phones. 877-710-ESPN.
So yeah. We wanted Mace to decide. Then we brought Greg in. Now we're opening the phones.
I think that you guys must think I'm up to something. This is better for Mason.
Chris, is it better for me?
I mean, in theory, yes. It is better for you. But
Angelina Jolie.
I just don't know. You know, I don't know how you're going to get an 8 on a 5 there, but that's okay. Let's play it out.
Yeah. I mean, we can go that route, but I do not see him getting an 8 on a 5.
John, I think we
how many 5s are on the front
side? I think
side?
We got to go 4 strokes.
Give
me a chance.
No, of course not. That would be
that's a lot.
36 strokes
that's a lot.
On 9 holes.
There's 3 5s on the front.
Three
John,
fives?
I shot 50 at the par 3 this weekend.
Wait, hold on, both you guys. There's 3 par 5s on the front side that you guys are playing.
Including a par 4 that is the hardest hole on the course.
That's a minimum of 36 just on those 3 holes.
That's a good point, Greg. That's why you're here as corporate.
And the idea is to make it somewhat
I know math a
close.
Bit.
The idea is to make
I'm
it somewhat
you,
close.
By the way, you didn't even notice that we agreed on 25 and a half. I just gave you an extra stroke and a half. You're now at 27.
I see.
And you didn't even take it. So
Greg,
that's what I'm talking
I'm going to let Chris decide.
We'll decide. Let me talk to Tommy Lamb,
okay.
Executive Vice President
Tommy
of our marketing
texted
group.
Me yesterday. He was one of the people that liked the match play.
Oh, so he does like the match play.
He does.
By the way, the other thing, and we're playing this on Friday at Black Gold. This is our big ESPN.
Hole-by-hole coverage will begin at 7 a.m., hosted by Corporate Greg and myself.
Yeah, now somebody asked me, Morales, how can people be
Yeah,
watch
I'm getting
that.
DMs from
yeah,
people
like,
saying,
what,
hey, what
people are sliding in, Mace?
Yeah.
Head first, or it doesn't matter.
Is
anyway,
that on all our social channels, or what's the best way for people
ESPN
to watch?
At ESPN Los Angeles on Instagram, on Twitter. I don't know about the Facebook, but we'll
see.
Twitch, maybe? We might
people.
Be on Twitch.
Are we on Twitch?
We usually are.
We were on Twitch.
Oh, I got to get paid extra if I'm doing Twitch.
When I played Travis, and I tied, when you gave up on your partner, Travis, and he made a 25-foot putt to save you.
That was two events ago. That was two events ago.
That was on Twitch.
Was it?
Yeah.
Anyway, at ESPN Los Angeles, coverage begins at 7 a.m. on the range. The event begins at 7:30, and we're going to go as long as it goes, which may not be that long.
And Chris, that wasn't two events ago. That was the last event because Travis beat me the first two times, and last time I tied him.
You always have to argue about stuff, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just telling you facts. I'm spitting facts, Chris.
Spitting facts. Spitting the truth, Morales.
By the way, Travis and Sliwa tomorrow morning, 9:55
By the way, I heard the show today. Fantastic. I always listen to Sedano and Cap. I text them in the middle
of the No. Travis and Sliwa.
I listen every day.
Oh, you listen to Sedano and Cap, too?
Yeah, I listened to Sedano.
Did you hear that shade they gave you yesterday?
Yeah, I did. I heard the shade. I heard the Scott Kaplan, hey, if I was on their show, I'd still be the youngest person, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but we're more immature than them.
Very
so,
immature.
I mean, age is just a number.
Well, you guys left San Diego how many years ago?
Probably 24 years ago.
Yeah, that was like another lifetime.
Yeah, and Kaplan spent the next 23 years in San Diego. Anyway,
exactly.
Well, guys, I got to get to an important meeting.
All right,
what time is your tea time?
My tea time? No.
Not today.
Real meeting?
Real meeting. And on Friday, I don't even get to play. I'm only there to work.
Nice.
But Saturday, my tea time is at 7:45.
Beautiful.
Anyway. All right, boys, have a great show.
Thanks, Morales.
Take care.
All right, there's Christopher Morales there. It is just going to be a – yeah, we'll figure it out. Check with Tommy. Let Tommy decide. I don't know.
Whatever you want to do.
I don't know. John, and here's the other thing about – I don't even hit the ball solidly all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I skull it. Sometimes I hit it way right. Sometimes – I mean, I think you're imagining that I'm way better than I am. My goal is to make it fun. That's what I want. I want it to be fun.
If you want it to be closer, you should do the match play thing.
Okay.
I'll leave it up to other people.
Okay.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, I want to let everybody know, lie of the day today, it is Ireland's lie, and if you can sniff it out and call
it. I might have already told it.
That's true. Call it 3:30. Call it 3:30 today, and you got a chance to win Rams-Bears tickets for Sunday Night Football. First game at SoFi Stadium with a crowd, and it's Sunday Night Football. You get to see Matthew Stafford make his debut, Aaron Donald, all that stuff. So be listening at 3:30 today with the lie of the day, and you can still buy tickets at rams.com/CHI.
By the way, I can't decide. Have you decided on your Survivor pick yet?
No.
All right, I'm down to either the Rams or the Bucks, and if I take the Bucks, I've got to take them because the Bucks play the Cowboys tomorrow night. So I would have to do it before tomorrow at 5.
Here's what I've got so far. Jorge has not responded. He's on vacation in Hawaii.
We might have to pick for him.
I'm giving him the 49ers, which is his favorite team, and is a good pick this week. Okay. My mom has taken the 49ers. Not stepdad Leo is taking Tampa Bay.
Aren't the 49ers on the road?
They're on the road, but they're playing a weak sister kind of team. And Leo is taking Tampa Bay tomorrow night.
I might jump in with Leo, but I told my mom to come up with a pick, so she's going to let me know today. I'll pick opposite of whatever my mom.
You got to jump in with me. Jump in with Carolina. Sam Darnold, USC.
Carolina's not good.
No, well, neither are the Jets.
No, but
Carolina.
See,
the Jets.
Use
them early.
The Jets have Zach Wilson, man. He's the next best.
Zach Wilson.
Yeah, Tony Romo says he's the next Patrick Mahomes.
He's played in a preseason game.
Talk about overstating it, Tony Romo. You know, he did say that. He said Zach Wilson is the next Patrick Mahomes.
You're the only person
Mahomes.
I know who hates Tony Romo. Everybody
I don't
else
like
I know
Tony
likes
Romo.
Tony.
You're also
well,
crazy for thinking
that's just a load of crap. Zach Wilson is the next Patrick Mahomes. There's not ever going to be another Patrick Mahomes. And by the way, I think I've told Michael this last week. I think two of these quarterbacks that everybody is excited about, they're going to flop. Two of them are going to flop.
Normally, that's what happens. But a few years ago, both of the top two flopped. Jameis Winston and Mariota flopped. And they went 1-2 in the draft. Hey, speaking of drafts, tonight is the Hollywood Fantasy Football League draft.
Oh, yes, it is.
We can do this when we come back. We got a break. Have you decided who you're taking? You can say it because no one can pick ahead of you.
I'm down between two guys. I've got the first pick in the draft. Also, we'll do some Dodgers coming up here. Big show today. Sean McVay is going to join us in about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
We'll have Coach every single week on Wednesdays as we get ready for the game. Be here at 1:40-ish. We never know exactly when Coach McVay is going to call in. Yeah, John, I'm down to two for our fantasy football draft tonight. I'm either going to take Dalvin Cook from Minnesota or Christian McCaffrey from Carolina.
Well,
you
took Christian McCaffrey last year and you finished last.
He got hurt. He got hurt and was lost for the season. Do I go back to that well?
First of all,
do you think I've got the right two guys?
I don't think those are bad picks. If you go to anybody's Matthew Berry or Eric Carabel or any of these so-called experts, their top three in whatever order you want to put them are McCaffrey, Cook, and either Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry.
Yeah, Derrick Henry is another one that I could look at.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong. Either one of those guys.
Yeah. Number one pick is something I'm very proud of. And you pulled an article about the biggest mistakes that you can make in a fantasy draft.
Hey, before you get to that, Bergman, are any of those calls still online?
Yeah, they're all still there. And right, one guy called, by the way, but he didn't stay on. He said that you guys should switch drives. So, John, when you drive, Mason plays your drive, you hit Mason's drive.
It's alternate shot. That's actually a format, but you do that when you're on the same team. So if Mason,
a best ball, right?
Yeah.
Best ball. So wherever.
It doesn't work when you're competing against someone because then they can just hit their drive out of bounds on purpose.
Well, you can do any of this stuff on purpose. Nobody's going to do
that.
That
guy didn't think it through. Here's Mark in Long Beach. Hey, Mark, you're on 710 ESPN.
Good afternoon. Appreciate your show.
Thanks, Mark.
You, Mason, I had some suggestions with the golf, if you'll hear me.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, you can do this. You're getting a lot of strokes. Just want you to keep this in mind. 43% of your shots in a round of golf are in putting. 60-something percent of your shots are within 60 yards. So you just got to get it close, all right?
Right.
Usually, no matter if you're a good golfer or a bad golfer, there's usually one club that's working for you. Might be a 9-iron, might be a 3-wood. Play it. So even if it's 500 yards away, if you're hitting your 7-iron, hit it 3 times.
Right. My iron that I feel best about is my 5-iron.
All right. Then play the 5-iron, and then if you hit 2 or 3 bad shots, go with another iron and leave it in the bag.
Then I'll tell you what, Mark. I'm not even bringing woods. I cannot hit a wood. It intimidates me, so I'm playing all irons in this event.
You'll be fine. The only fun thing I would recommend is bring the driver, think of someone you don't like, and swing for the rafters. The last piece of advice, Mason,
yes,
is save your spinage for the back nine. See how it goes the front nine.
We're only playing 9 holes.
Right,
we're only
Mark
playing
the
front
phone
nine,
call.
Mark. Yeah.
Here's Ron in Simi Valley. Hey, Ron, what do you got?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man.
All right, listen. Match play, Mason, per hole definitely gives you an advantage. So here's how you guys do each hole for your 9 holes.
Okay.
John, double the par minus a half. If it's a par 3, it's 5.5. If it's a par 4, it's 7.5. If it's a par 5, 9.5. Over under, you got a winner for each hole. That's the way you do it. If you do it the other way, Mace is going to hit a 20 on the second hole, and all the fun will come out of
Mark or Ron. I was told there would be no math. That's too complicated.
We are
thank
super
you
bad
for
at
the
math.
Suggestion.
But thank you. Yeah.
All right. So make up your mind. Who are you taking in this fantasy draft? I mean, you can say it because no one can.
I'm going back to one. McCaffrey got hurt for me last year, but he catches a lot of balls. He's a receiver. He's a running back. I'm going Christian McCaffrey.
All right, it's not a bad pick.
Yeah.
Now I have the fourth pick. I don't know what I'm doing.
You're going to pick Mahomes.
We'll see if he's there.
He will absolutely be there.
Well, last year somebody took him early. We'll see. I did multiple mocks last night, Mace. That's the extent of my preparation.
Oh, boy.
And each mock I did, I picked a different guy each time. I did three of them. My team was so good, they'd be unbeatable. So it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, you're so good, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. It doesn't matter at all. So did you watch the Dodger game last night and watch Albert Pujols homer in St.
Louis? Yeah, I watched Pujols homer in the first inning. And that's such a great story. Batting third, Albert Pujols in St. Louis, huge ovation. It was a great, great moment. It was a great moment. And, again, I will say it. I will own this. I was wrong about Albert Pujols. I thought it was a really bad signing, and it has turned out to be great, not only as a player on the field, as a guy who rakes left-handers, but also as a clubhouse guy, as a mentor to younger guys. Albert Pujols has been fantastic for the Dodgers. What a final chapter it's been for him.
By the way, speaking of the Dodgers, you two guys got killed on my Twitter page yesterday.
Twitter's everything, obviously.
Here was the question that they had for you. You guys said you wouldn't even consider Max Scherzer in a one-game playoff. You're giving the ball to Walker Buehler no matter what.
Yep.
I said there is no way you can give it to anybody but Scherzer. And what came back more than anything else at both of you guys is, all right, it's a one-game playoff.
Right.
So that game on Sunday was as close to a one-game playoff as you can simulate. It was against the Giants with the season series on the line, and Walker Buehler didn't pitch well. Scherzer has zero bad games. He's pitched in seven games. They're 7-0. He's 5-0 with an ERA of 1 with 63 strikouts. Why would you mess with that?
Well,
why not
Walker
respect
Buehler
the streak?
Has not had a bad game in the postseason when it matters.
Exactly, exactly.
He's not had a bad game.
Postseason, regular season, two totally different worlds.
Yeah,
ask Alex Rodriguez.
He's undefeated in the postseason. In other words, Walker Buehler has not thrown a bad game in the postseason.
Right.
And he's
Scherzer
been there a lot.
Is undefeated as a Dodger. He has not lost a game.
But Buehler has been better in the postseason than Max Scherzer has.
But he does. Bueller's sample size is very small. What's Buehler, 25? I mean, how old is he? No, he's a little older than that.
Think about it. He's pitched a lot in the playoffs. He's there
his whole career.
Single year. Yeah.
Yeah, his whole career has been in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a agree to disagree. I go with Buehler. I'm curious to see what Dave Roberts does if it comes down to this. And can
and
I just
hopefully
say,
it won't, by the way.
What a spectacular pennant race this is. I mean, we win, they win. I mean, we're going down to the wire with this thing. Both teams are playing so well.
Remember a team as hot as the Dodgers not picking up major ground this late in the season. Can you? I think they're 24-6 in their last 30 games.
It's crazy.
And they've
really
only picked up 2.5.
Yeah, they've only picked up 2.5, and the Giants are continuing to play well, and they're in Colorado right now, which is an easy out, and the Dodgers are in St. Louis. St. Louis is still in wild card contention. You know what it's going to come down to? It's going to come down to the Padres. How well the Padres play against the Giants, and how well the Padres play against the Dodgers. The Padres are going to be the pivotal deciding team about who wins the National League West, because we've got a bunch of games with them and the Giants have a bunch of games with them. So watch the Padres. That's going to determine who wins the National League West.
And by the way, because of that, the Padres will probably be out.
Yeah, I think the Reds will be the wild card.
And Blake Snell, did you see what happened to him last night?
Off the top of my head, no.
It's like the third time this has happened in a row for him, too.
He was throwing a no-hitter into the seventh inning, and he lost again. It's happened to him like four times. Statistically, he's been the most dominant pitcher. He's been better than anybody. He's even been better than Scherzer, and they can't give him any run support.
Did they leave him in the no-hitter?
Yeah, but
last time around, he had a no-hitter through six, and they pulled him because they and Blake Snell apparently agreed with it. They don't like Blake Snell to go a third time through the lineup.
Well, this was the World Series when Kevin Cash took him out against the Dodgers when I think he was throwing a one-hitter, right? Might have been a no-hitter, and he took him out in the fifth inning.
Yeah, it was a one-hitter because it was Austin Barnes that got a hit, and then they pulled him out for Mookie.
Well, at least this time, he was there until the no-hitter was broken up.
Okay,
right, he gave up the first hit.
Right. So coming up next, we have Coach Sean McVay is going to join us. and we have Wheel of Questions. So we're going to incorporate both.
Yes.
We're going to do the Wheel of Questions and include Coach McVay.
Fantastic.
Which could be interesting.
Yeah, it could be interesting. All right, that's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
What a snoop. What a total snoop.
Yeah, but I she knows I'm snooping. So yeah, is it snooping if you're openly tell her don't leave your phone laying around because I'm going through it?
Yeah, I guess you're being honest. Hey, it's time for Wheel of Questions, and Coach McVay is going to join us here in a minute. Wheel of Questions brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car that's just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. So let's go ahead and spin the wheel. This is awesome. All right, who would win a fight between two half-sized Bruce Lees and one full-size Mike Tyson?
Now, Bergman texted me earlier. He doesn't think Tyson would have a chance. Why, Greg?
Absolutely not, because Bruce Lee is a killer. Like, he's going to destroy Mike Tyson.
But remember,
and you put two of them?
Okay. They're half-sized Bruce Lee.
Right. Now, I looked this up.
I don't care. They can jump on each other's shoulders.
Bruce Lee was 5'8", okay? Now, he was a badass, Bruce Lee.
One of the baddest.
Okay, but, Mace, if he's 5'8", that means the half-size Bruces would be under 3 feet tall. I don't think two under-3-foot Bruce Lees tactically could take out Tyson. He would swat them away like flies. He'd be like King Kong on the side of the Empire State Building. I disagree with Greg. I would roll with Tyson.
I think you are underrating how great Bruce Lee was. I mean, he was go look at Enter the Dragon.
I know, I've seen them all.
Phenomenal star.
But what is he going to do if he's under 3 feet tall?
How is Mike Tyson going to hit a 3 foot guy?
How is he going to
I mean, seriously, think about it. 3 feet. He's going to literally punch down and try to have power that way?
No.
The Bruce Lees are going to hit him in the face. They're going to fly through the air,
Okay, the minute he jumps at his face, he literally swats him like a fly.
He can't stop two of them.
Right, exactly. Mason is absolutely on point.
No. I mean, have you ever seen when a little guy tries to fight a big guy? It just doesn't work.
David versus Goliath.
Yeah, but that involved slingshots and
with
you know,
two Davids.
Yeah, two
They're
Davids.
Two Davids.
Right.
Yeah.
So one goes the front side, the other goes
it's
the back
side. It's
a
double David. Yeah, one goes behind him, one goes in front of him. Oh, bang, you're going down, Tyson.
I think that you guys are giving way too much credit to the half-size Bruces. If it was a full-size Bruce, like literally one Bruce against Tyson, you guys could convince me because it would be a full-size Bruce.
Yeah, I would take Bruce over Tyson straight up.
But you can't do a half-size. It'd be like, you know, how would a half-size, two half-size Bruces couldn't stop Aaron Donald?
Well, I tell you what. Let's get an idea. Let's get a take from Rams head coach Sean McVay, who joins us right now as we get ready for Sunday Night Football, Rams versus Bears. Coach, how you doing, man?
Good. How you guys doing?
All right, Coach, we're doing excellent, and we're going to start with a ridiculous question because that's what we do around here. We're having an argument. Who would win a fight, between a full-size Mike Tyson and two half-sized Bruce Lees? Who would win?
You're right. That is a crazy question. I have, you know what? I know this. If Mike Tyson connects, it doesn't matter how many Bruce Lees, connecting on him is a different, you know, that's why it's a good question, actually. So, you know what? We'll never know the answer. I can promise you that.
Yeah, it's pretty damn hypothetical. You're right, Coach. You're right. Are you ready? Are you ready for Sunday night?
We're getting there. You know, I think, you know, very excited. But, you know, you want to make sure that we're totally, completely present. We take the week of preparation the right way. But you're damn right we're excited.
I can't wait, Coach. I think that it's going to be – Mason's going to the game. I think you guys in SoFi for the first time with fans is going to be one of the great nights in L.A. sports history. But you've got to go up against a Bears defense that features, for my money, maybe the second best defensive player in the league behind Aaron Donald, and that's Khalil Mack. You're an offensive coach. You look at tons of tape. How do you account for a guy like Khalil Mack?
Well, you have to have a plan. He's a great player, like you mentioned. They've got other great players as well. You know, Robert Quinn coming off the other edge is outstanding. So is Hakeem Hicks, Roquan Smith, Eddie Jackson. They've got a lot of really good players. They're a great defense. And so a lot of it will be predicated on, all right, how do they want to activate him, and then what are our answers accordingly. But you definitely always have to have a plan, know where he's at all times, and make sure that you're cognizant of it, because he can ruin a game real quick if you're not careful.
So, Coach, as John said, I'm going to be there. I bought personal seat licenses, and I've got tickets, and I'm going there as a true fan. Whose house? Rams house. Matthew Stafford, I'm really excited for. What are your expectations for Matthew Stafford Sunday night and this season?
Yeah, to play within himself. You know, he doesn't have to do anything more than play to the best of his ability, enjoy the opportunity to compete, manage the offense, make good decisions, deliver the ball the way he knows how to do that. And be a great distributor. So the best part about Matthew is you're not asking him to do anything more than just go be himself, go enjoy the opportunity to compete with a bunch of good teammates, trust yourself, trust your teammates, and go lead the way that he knows how to do it and the way he's been doing it for a long time.
Sean McVay is our guest, head coach of the Rams. The Rams open the season on Sunday Night Football against the Bears at SoFi Stadium. You can hear the game here on ESPN LA. Coach, what should fans expect at the running back position for the Rams? You went out and picked up Sony Michel, who was a really good back for the Patriots. Darrell Henderson, I know, got a little banged up in the preseason. Is Henderson the one, Sony the two? Is it kind of running back by committee? Are you going to wait and see how the game develops, or what should fans expect at running back?
Yeah, I think, you know, Darrell is a very, very good running back who is a starting player in my mind. He's done a great job when he's been available. There's never been an ability question. It's just, you know, being available. And so feel very confident in Darrell. Sony's got a well-documented resume, and I think Jake Funk is a very mature rookie that the game's not going to be too big for him. So you can expect to see all three of those guys at some point. Who ends up playing the majority of the snaps, I think, is to be determined. But Darrell will start us off and lead the way, and then we'll see how those other two guys supplement him.
So you had an elite defense last year, and all the pieces are there this year. Brandon Staley was the defensive coordinator last year. He, of course, left for the Chargers. What's going to change, or will anything change, with Raheem Morris as defensive coordinator?
Yeah, you know, there's every single year represents change. And, you know, we're looking forward to doing a lot of the good things that we did last year, picking up where we left off. But there'll be some different things that'll feel different. But it all goes back to the players. We've got some really special players. I know they're excited and motivated to play at a really high level, and looking forward to seeing that come to life on Sunday night.
Sean McVay is our guest. And, Coach, you're doing something this year. Mason and I have always said that if you didn't want to coach, you could do what we do. You could be a broadcaster. You could slide right into it. You're actually kind of playing around with it. You're one of the hosts of a podcast this year, Flying Coach with Peter Schrager. Is that something that you enjoy? Is it what you thought it would be? Or tell us what your experience with that has been like.
Yeah, so you guys know me well enough. It was a great experience with Peter. It was one that I would never do during the season. You know, that was exclusively an off-season thing. That's over now. It was fun to do with a friend. Peter Schrager's a genuine friend, but, you know, I love coaching. I'm not I'm not interested in getting into your guys' deal anytime soon. I'll continue coaching as long as the Rams will have me.
Hey, here's a random question. During a game week, how many hours do you spend every day getting ready for the game?
You know, I think the balance is important. It really just depends on, you know, kind of the level of preparation. But I think, you know, you're saying roughly anywhere, you know, on your heavy days, which is really kind of your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and your Thursday, you know, you're spending anywhere between 12 and 15 hours on preparation.
And Sean, now that you have a game against the Bears, I know it's a team you've coached against before, and Matt Nagy's coming back. How much do you rely on the Bears from a year ago or the fact that they've got Andy Dalton and you might even see Justin Fields? Do you kind of for a first week have to throw out the games from a year ago and kind of start fresh?
Well, I think they'll still keep the same foundational philosophy, like you mentioned, with Matt Nagy calling the plays and him being there. And they've got continuity at the coordinator with Bill Lazor. So, you know, you use it, but you also understand that every single year at the beginning of the season represents an opportunity to see a shift in what these teams do. They've had a chance to study. It's all about the players. And, you know, there'll be some things that they'll cater to Andy's skill set or Justin if they play him. And, you know, they've got a new defensive coordinator in Sean Desai, and then they've got continuity at the special teams coordinator in Chris Tabor. So, you know, you definitely put merit into the previous years, but every single year represents kind of an opportunity to do some new stuff, and that's where you want to make sure that you have good sound rules and guys can go play fast, trust those rules, and then you'd be ready to adjust accordingly during the game.
Okay, last thing I want to pin you down. So two Bruce Lees, one full-size Mike Tyson. I have got the two Bruce Lees. Greg, our producer, has the two Bruce Lees. Ireland has Mike Tyson. You gotta make a pick. Who do you go with?
I'm taking Mike Tyson to balance it out. So now you got to find a fifth person to answer the final question.
There you go.
Hey, Sean, right. most of all, go get him on Sunday, man. We can't wait to see that thing packed with fans. And we think it's going to be a great season for you. Can't wait to get it going.
Let's go. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, there is Coach Sean McVay, who will join us every Wednesday here on the show. Excited about that. And I can't tell you how excited I am about Sunday night.
So Michael will be the tiebreaker when he gets here.
Oh, yeah, Michael will be good on that
question. Me and McVay pick Tyson. You and Bergman are with the two half-size Bruce Lees. Michael will end the debate.
Yes. John, we mentioned fantasy draft tonight. I will tell you the one thing that I'm not going to do. I'm not going to do that I've done during the last couple of fantasy drafts. I've been in baseball, football, basketball. I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. Plus, Paul Pierce, should he have to apologize for the Instagram live feed that he put out with the strippers and the
drinking and the smoking.
All that stuff. The drinking, yeah. Smoking, exactly. Does that require an apology? That's coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I think Morales feigned enthusiasm right there.
He did.
He's a fan of jump ball.
He's faking it. It's going to be great. So, John, here's my fantasy sports resume for the last year. Actually, the league I did the best in was the 14-team NBA league, where I finished sixth, which was very respectable. People like Sedano and Mike Trudell and Kevin Ding and Mark Heisler and all those guys are in it.
Okay.
Middle of the pack. I'll take that. Dead last in fantasy football. Seventh out of 10 in fantasy baseball.
You're just a terrible fantasy player.
You know, I realize what I'm doing wrong more than anything else.
Which is what?
Stoned.
You're not going to get stoned tonight?
I'm not going to get stoned tonight. I'm not smoking.
I never get stoned.
I'm
not a weed guy like you, but I will tell you this. In all sincerity.
Yes.
You might need to get stoned to get through this night. How many of these drafts have we done? And we're like the only league in the world that doesn't put a time limit on people.
Wait a minute. There's no time limit on drafting?
These guys, you know, these guys always, well, we're going to pause. So they can look through their notebooks and talk. And you got one guy in New York and one guy in L.A.
And it's the 14th round. And he's like, pause.
Hey, boys.
Hey, Michael. Okay, Michael, before we get to anything else, you're going to be the deciding vote because two of us are on one side and two of us are on the other. Who would win a fight between two half-sized Bruce Lees and one full-size Mike Tyson? Bruce Lee was 5'8", so the half-sized Bruce Lees would be under 3 feet tall.
What kind of question is that?
That's a hypothetical question.
Sean McVay and I say Tyson would swat those mini Bruce Lees away like flies. Mason and Bergman both say Bruce Lee would do flying kicks and Tyson couldn't handle it.
A couple of guys the size of Tattoo beating up Mike Tyson? Come on.
How would Mike Tyson swing down at these guys?
A couple of little people fighting Mike Tyson? Come on, people. Be serious.
And like McVay said, Mace, if Tyson connects at all on the mini, on the mini Bruce Lee, that mini Bruce Lee is dead.
The real Bruce Lee would have a hard time with Mike Tyson.
No, the real Bruce Lee would crush Mike Tyson.
No, no.
Would crush Mike Tyson.
Yeah, Bruce Lee is quick. He can use his feet. But if Mike hits him once, he's dead. What is wrong with you people?
I'm with Michael.
Jeez.
Two mini Bruce Lees, one in front and one behind him, or one standing on the other one's shoulders, whatever it takes,
right.
I think the Bruce Lees would win.
Okay, realistically, all the men listening to us right now understand there's only one way they could win. If they get a lucky punch in on a low blow. Because you could bring down Shaq with a low blow, buddy.
Well, we brought this up, Michael. This
you know what I mean, Bergman?
Yeah. Hey, Michael, that's did anyone ever do that to you in your NBA career? Did anyone try and do a low blow on you?
You mean like on purpose?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Nobody did that. No, that's against the man code, isn't it?
Well,
every guy listening to us right now, even in a fight, let's say guys get into a barroom fight, they wouldn't do that, would they?
Mm-hmm.
I think in a barroom fight, you're flailing at everybody.
Yeah. MT, there was a question a couple of weeks ago on the show. I don't think you were here for it. Would you let Mike Tyson punch you in the face for $10 million?
And how am I going to spend $10 million in a coma forever?
You think it's that bad? You think it's that bad that you would be in a coma?
He could give you brain damage. Yes, he could kill
injuries, you. Mace, you admit, the injuries almost – I would think there's a – probably 90% chance that the injuries would be permanent.
Yes. It could break your face.
Is that Mike Tyson right now, or is that Mike Tyson like 10 years ago?
Mike Tyson, let's just say right now.
Oh, yeah, he's still –
I would do it for 10 mil.
10 million is generational money, Michael.
With his bare fist, the hit in the
face?
Full force.
You wouldn't be able to enjoy it. You'd be dismembered.
Yeah, you'd either be disfigured or you got brain damage or
Strong jaw.
Strong jaw. But no, either way. Greg Bergman is known for.
Look, you know what Mike Tyson is known for? Mike Tyson is known for having a weed farm. Like, that's what he's known for now.
Yes, he does have a weed farm.
Right, and he's got a big one, and he smokes a lot. So, I don't think that he's going to have that
much
power.
Michael, you've seen those training videos of Tyson recently, right?
Exactly.
He looks great.
He's 55 years of age, but he's still going to throw a punch.
Yeah, he can throw a punch, but it's not going to be as strong as
it
was 15, 20 years ago.
Mike Tyson's known as being one of the greatest heavyweight fighters
ever. He's got a huge weed
farm.
He's in the weed business.
20 years ago.
But you could ask, go on the street and ask 30 people, what do you know about Mike Tyson? They all say he's a fighter. Nobody's going to say he's a weed farmer.
He's making serious jack with his weed business. Yeah, but
that was all 20 years ago, Michael.
So what? Okay.
But it's different.
When you hear
do you have the same power that you had 20 years ago?
When you hear the name Muhammad Ali, what do you think?
I think of a boxer.
There you go.
But that doesn't mean that right now, if Muhammad Ali was here, he'd hit me. It would be the same.
No, I'm talking about what he's known as.
But that's not what he's known as. Doesn't mean anything. Being hit me in the face.
Yeah. No, man. No.
Just
Greg Bergman,
boxer.
I would not advise it. I don't care if it's Canelo Alvarez. I don't care who it is. Don't let
give
a boxer
me the 10 mil.
In your face.
Give me the 10 mil.
Yeah.
All
right, Michael. I want to ask you next about drinking, smoking, and strippers. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
You don't need to break yet, by the way.
We're close, right? Aren't we?
Nope. You got like 4 more minutes, buddy.
4 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, let's do it then. So Paul Pierce was playing poker at a friend's house in L.A. Mm-hmm. There was drinking. There was smoking. There were strippers. And after a little too much drinking and smoking, Pierce decided to start an Instagram Live and show off the strippers. Went on for a few minutes, riffing. He thought for a couple of hundred people. When he finished, he deleted it. He didn't know IG Lives can be recorded and they can be reposted. So Paul Pierce, basically everybody saw this. He lost his job. Everybody saw this. But do you believe
Paul
Pierce...
Wait a minute. But, hold on. There's an important point for context here, Michael and Mace. Paul Pierce is not married, Michael. He was in, you know, he's a man. He got divorced last year.
Yeah.
He was just enjoying his free time. Mm-hmm. But he did put it on the internet. All right, go ahead, Mace.
Does he owe the world an apology?
No. This is all consenting adults. This is in his private time, even though he put it out there on social media. This is his personal time at his home, all consenting adults. I don't do the strippers. I don't smoke the weed. I do drink my occasional wine or beer or champagne. But no, what he did, I wouldn't want my boys doing it, but it's not against the law, none of it. So, no, no big deal.
Well, part of this, too, is that his agent, Jeff Schwartz, and Jerry Colangelo, who heads the Hall of Fame board these days, both went to Pierce and said, look, you should issue a statement. You should apologize in some way because it might hurt your chances of getting into the Hall of Fame. Now, of course, it didn't. He got voted into the Hall of Fame anyway. Uh-oh. But they were, Schwartz and Colangelo, were just, Michael, looking out for his brand.
For his image, yeah.
His image.
Right.
Does his image take a hit here?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, Paul
Pierce, me either.
No, Paul Pierce. Everybody knows Paul was kind of a partier. He's an outspoken guy. When I look at Paul Pierce now, I just see a former great player who's a nice guy. He likes to party. Then if that's the case, take out 90% of the guys out of the Hall of Fame.
Right. Well, I mean, Dennis Rodman's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like a professional partier.
And you know, I get this question all the time,
the ultimate partier, Will Chamberlain, 20,000. Remember that number?
Oh, sure. So I get this question all the time. Do you ever do the show Stoned? And the answer is no. And people say, well, why don't you try it? And I would never try it. Would you do a podcast Stoned? Definitely not at this stage
but
of my career. Maybe someday,
Mace,
but not
that's
now.
That's apples and oranges. I think in this case, the question would be, if you get stoned tonight during this fantasy football draft, would you put it on your – I mean, you're on every social media platform there is – would you put it on IG Live or what was the one you used to do? Periscope.
Periscope, exactly.
Would you do that?
I would not. I don't. I would not present myself in a stoned state in a public setting.
But you talk about it openly.
Yeah, I talk about it openly. But I think it's different to actually be stoned. Don't you, Bergman? Don't you think it's different to be stoned on social media?
Yes, it is a little bit different, but I don't think he did anything wrong either. I'm with these guys here.
You're talking about Paul Pierce?
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul Pierce.
This is on his own time.
It's fine. It is different being stoned, yes.
By the way, Freddie Prinze Jr. just texted me to tell you, Mason, especially you and Bergman, that Bruce Lee weighed 128 pounds. You have lost your mind to think that he could beat Mike Tyson.
Well, no, and by the way, it would be half of that.
Exactly.
It would be a guy who's 64 pounds.
Right. A 64 pounder.
But think about it, Michael. One Bruce Lee would jump on the shoulders of the other Bruce Lee.
He would swat him away like King Kong. Yeah.
While the other one's punching him in the stomach.
What is this, a Saturday morning cartoon show? Crazy. You've been watching too much
Think
Tom
of the
and
possibilities.
Jerry. Oh, come on.
All right. Coming up next, Michael, I want to ask you about Madonna.
Ooh, I love Madonna.
She did that is causing all kinds of controversy.
Mm-hmm. I also have an ethical question for you guys.
Okay, good.
All right.
That's coming up, too.
Okay.
Stay where you are. Don't forget, part of 9 hours of live and local radio for you here every single day. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.